Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time to talk a little gambling. It's time to win a little money. I had a pretty good weekend last weekend, better than week one of the college season. It's nice to have the NFL back in our lives. 3 o'clock thereabouts on a Thursday means it's time to talk a little wagering. And to do that, our expert in that area this season is the chief content officer for the Action Network, actionnetwork.com. A lot of great wagering and gambling content with the Action Network, and we're pleased to be joined, as we are every week, by Chad Millman. Chad, it's Sean and Clint Sterner with you. How you doing today, my man?
I am good, fellas. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're out of Twin Peaks here on 290 in Houston, so it's rainy outside but fun inside of Twin Peaks for sure. And before we get into this week's games, Chad, I always like digging into this, like a big, huge slate of college and NFL last weekend. Was there a particular game where there was a, maybe not a game you were on, but a game that, you know, you heard a lot of people lamenting where there was a particularly bad beat at all in week one of the NFL season or week two of the college season?
Well, certainly there was that game. Florida Atlantic had some issues with the kicking game that led to a really bad beat last weekend. I will tell you, and I remember coming on the show last week, talking about how much I loved the Texans as 6.5-point underdogs against the Patriots, and how there was one point on Sunday where I was watching that game, and I was so close to the television with my hands on my knees, and I was bent over at my waist, and my 11-year-old son walked in, and I thought he was going to call my wife into the room, because he thought I might collapse at any moment. Because it was so, I had that, and I had the Giants plus 4. And so, like, if you want to talk about last weekend, that's what I think about. So I don't care if anyone else had, I don't care about anyone else if they had bad beats. This is what happened to me. And that's what I'm dealing with.
Those personal stories are always the best one. Just as a general rule of thumb, Chad, where are you on buying half a point? You know, at what does it depend on the game? Are you more of a buy a half a point when it's around 3 or around 6 or 7? Like, where do you come out on the value play of buying half a point?
Yeah, you buy it on the key numbers. You buy it at 3, you buy it at 7. You know, 4 is becoming more and more of a key number because of the 2-point conversion. But if you're looking to buy a point, and I don't have any objection to it. Like, if you have a model that says the value to me of what I'm going to bet is greater, if I buy that half a point, then you go for it and you do it. More power to you.
What about the bets where you can move the line, when you start personally being able to move the line one way or the other? What's your take on that? Is there a rule of thumb, or do you stay away from those kind of plays?
Brother, if you can move the line all by yourself based on a bet that you make, then you are a professional bettor that strikes fear into the heart of every bookmaker. 'Cause that's when it gets interesting. Like, professional bookmakers, you can come in, and someone like me can walk in off the street and bet $50,000 on the Cowboys against the Giants this weekend, and bookmakers aren't going to bat an eye because what do I know? I'm just some guy who's betting $50,000. But if someone who's known as a professional bettor comes in and they bet $500 and bookmakers respect what that guy does, they're going to move that line immediately. It's called book into faces, and it's like it's not the money that necessarily moves the line, it's the person.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a good thing, like a good thing for bettors to know about, like, the whales that can move lines. I think what you're talking about, Clint, are alternate lines where you can, say, change, you know, go from -3 or you can move it to -7 and have to pay major, major vig to do that. I think that's what Clint's referring to, Chad.
Oh,
do you have any thought, feel on that?
Not a fan at all. If you're going to invest money to move the line that aggressively, you might as well just not make the bet because you don't feel good about the number you're looking at.
Find something else to walk away from it, right?
Yeah, walk away. Just walk away. Exactly.
That's Chad Millman, Action Network, joining us here on the Triple Threat Sports Radio 610. Chad, let's get started here with this. Well, you mentioned the Texans. Hopefully they don't have you, bent over, hand on knees this weekend. I don't know if you've – the line just came out today because we got some clarity on the Marcus Mariota situation. And the Texans are a small favorite. Two teams, division foes, neither one obviously wanting to fall to 0-2. Any feel on this Texans game as you talk to a Houston audience here?
Yeah, much as it pains me, I'll be on them again. Look, the truth is I bet them to win the Super Bowl. It's a little bit of a flyer, but I was comfortable doing it. And they didn't look so good against the Patriots, and that was really disappointing. But they still, at the end of the day, they made a game of it in the second half. I think the score is closer than the game was. But this Titans team really disappointed in a different way. I think the Texans looked talented but rusty. I think the Titans just looked much, much worse than people expected. And the Titans defense, their defensive line is good. And I think it's going to be really hard for the Titans to move the ball on the ground. And so I'd go back in on the Texans. In fact, I do like this contest in Vegas called the Super Contest, and you pick five games against the spread, and it's a season-long contest, and if you win it at the end of the year, you win $1 million. And the Texans are one of the teams that I picked to win in the Super Contest.
Wow, that's strong words there. Let's stay in the NFL. What about the Patriots and the Jags are at a pick'em? Everybody here, everybody listening, watched the Patriots last week. It's got to pique their interest. What's your take on this week's game with the Jags?
This is another one, man. It is killing me. I actually bet the Jags. This game opened at +2. I bet the Jags at +2. I was really impressed with their defense this past weekend. I thought they made the Giants look really, really bad. So the challenge becomes, as the home team, I got them as the underdog. What can their offense do against the Patriots' defense? I was really hopeful that the Texans would sort of show what kind of defense the Patriots have this year because it wasn't very good last year and they didn't do much to improve it. They just didn't give them any challenge this past weekend. So I think it'll be a really interesting game. At pick, I might go on the Patriots, but at +2, I like the Jags as underdogs.
That's going to be an interesting one to watch and see what the line does over the weekend. Chad, the Eagles are 3-point favorites last I looked traveling to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, one of the biggest surprises in Week 1 with Ryan Fitzpatrick dialing it back and going good Fitzy showing up as opposed to after signing a big extension Fitzy showing up. But 3 seems like a small number for the defending Super Bowl champs. And I know Foles is going to play quarterback again here in Week 2. Is a 3-point spread a small number like that against the Bucks and Ryan Fitzpatrick? Is that an overreaction, or is that number just where it should be? What are your thoughts on that number?
It is a massive overreaction to both games. It's overreaction to what Fitzpatrick did against the Saints and to the general public sentiment of Nick Foles from the preseason and then how badly the Eagles played in Game 1, even though they won. This game is sort of what's called the look-ahead line. So books have lines for sort of the entire year set already, and then they adjust them week to week. The look-ahead line for this, when the season started, was Eagles -6. And between the adjustments and where the bookmakers expected the money to come in, remember, bookmakers are always thinking the public bets on what they last saw. And what they last saw was Ryan Fitzpatrick lighting up the New Orleans Saints and Nick Foles struggling against the Atlanta Falcons. So this game was adjusted from -6 to -3. Huge overreaction. And I know a lot of wise guys who are betting on the Eagles in this scenario. Personally, for me, the challenge for me is I hate betting road favorites, and I hate betting road favorites when they're getting 80% of the money. And I'm looking in our Action Network app right now, and Philadelphia is getting 83% of the money. They're getting 72% of the tickets. The discrepancy there is that there's just higher volume of money coming in. It's not equal to the number of tickets right now. But whatever the case may be, that just tells you that everybody is betting on the Eagles. historically, when a road favorite is getting 80% of the money, I almost always bet on the home underdog. I'm not in this case because I happen to think the Eagles are the right side, and I don't like going against this particular system, so I'm going to pass on this game.
Boy, he talked his way through that one. I love I wish I could logically talk through some things like that when I was putting money on the line. Hey, Chad, I'm a college guy, man, particularly an SEC guy. Let's jump into that. LSU at Auburn, Auburn minus 10, or at least in that range somewhere. I'm really feeling Auburn in this game. What's your thoughts?
It's a tough one, man. Like, I agree with you. I'm feeling Auburn, too. I think they're a really good team. And if, like, you look at the teams coming out of the SEC, like, we did a story this week that was examining, you know, the pretenders and the contenders in the SEC early in the season, and Auburn is a contender. And I don't know that LSU is right now. They're interesting, but I don't think they're a contender. And it's hard for me to not think about, why wouldn't I be on Auburn in this game? It's a big number. It's always hard to cover a number that size in the SEC, but I think I side with you on that one.
I'm just not a believer in I've watched LSU a few times, and I believe the quarterback is a great – he gets him in the right play.
Yeah.
But you're going to do more than get him in the right play against this. This Auburn football team is they're always – have been pretty good of late. They're really, really good on the defensive side of the football. Yeah. The windows are going to be small. The opportunities are going to be small. And I just don't think the quarterback's going to have the ability to make many plays.
Yeah.
I will tell you what's interesting here is that 67% of the tickets are coming in on LSU as the underdog. But, and this is where it gets interesting, like, not to shamelessly plug the app, but one of the things that you can look at in the Action Network app is we have the tickets that are coming in, and then we have the money that's coming in.
Yep.
67% of the tickets are coming in on LSU, but 53% of the money is coming in on Auburn. If you want to follow what the wise guys are doing, what the professional bettors are doing, follow the money. And
yeah.
53% of the money is coming in on Auburn. So, Clint, the wise guys are with you.
There you go.
Chad, I mean, before we let you go, like, how different is it now in 2018 than when – like, we were all probably placing our first bet. Like, my first bets I placed was, like, with a local bookie, and I'd pick my money up at a sporting goods store in town, like, at the end of the week. And, you know, like, and I'd call a guy who would tell me what the spreads were. There was no internet. Like, now you got an app where you can look and see what all the wise guys are doing. Like, how crazy different is it nowadays?
It is so different. Even when I started doing, look, I wrote a book about guys who bet on sports for a living 20 years ago. I was in Vegas for 6 months, and I tracked these guys. And even back then, most guys, this is just when the internet was sort of becoming how people were making their bets. Even back then, guys had to go from counter to counter in Vegas to get, like, the best lines. And they'd have, like, envelopes full of cash. Like, I had a guy who was driving around with $100,000 in cash in the trunk of his car, and he'd go to every counter and just, like, take out 10 grand, and he's putting it here, putting it here, putting it here. Like, the difference is astounding. It is stunning.
Yeah, it really is. Hey, Chad, before we let you go, actionnetwork.com, and get the app, too, obviously. When we do these gambling segments, we always like to do one pick at the end. And I know you mentioned the Super Contest, and you got the Texans this week. We call it the pick for the enterprising young man. Do you have a pick this week? You had one pick for the enterprising young man that you had to give so that he could make a little money this weekend. What would it be?
You're going to call me crazy, but
okay.
the very first bet that I made this week were the Arizona Cardinals as 13-point underdogs at the Los Angeles Rams. And I'm disappointed in myself only because I didn't wait, because that line is now 14. The line is now a full 2 touchdowns, and I would have gotten a better number betting the Cardinals at plus 14. We talked about overreaction, right? And you sort of hit the nail on the head. The Rams go into Oakland, and they beat up the Raiders on Monday night. Everybody in the world sees it. The bookmakers know the market is going to overreact because the Rams are already a public team. A lot of people like to bet on them because of what they did last year. They're getting a lot of attention as a potential Super Bowl team. Meanwhile, the Cardinals get beat up by a Redskins team that nobody thinks is any good. And so there's massive adjustments. Talk about the look-ahead lines. We talked about that earlier in the segment. The look-ahead line for this before week one, the Rams were 9-point favorites. There's a 5-point difference in the point spread right now. The Rams are not that much better. The Cardinals are not that much worse. So to me, the value is on the Cardinals.
Yeah, 13. It's gone up to 14. Chad Millman, at Chad Millman on Twitter, Chief Content Officer for the Action Network. Get to actionnetwork.com. Great information. Download the app. Chad, great stuff as always. We'll do it again next Thursday, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you later.
All right, there it is. Chad Millman joining us on the show. Some good information. The pick for the enterprising young man this week. We always did that with our pick guy last year. That's what I called it, Clint.
Right.
Because
I am
an enterprising young man. I need to make a little scratch here. Three kids in college and whatnot. So the recipe to pay the tuition is clearly betting on the Arizona Cardinals this weekend.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm on it. Hook me up with your bookie. I'm on it.
You want to jump in with me? Sterner Pendergast LLC.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.